Hello, everyone, and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse Live. I'm Aaron Moret, along with Michael Moret, and today we are picking up where we left off a couple of months ago, actually. We are picking things up today in John chapter 19, so we'll be in the Gospel of John chapter 19. And hello, Dad. How are you?
Good. Haven't seen you for 3 months.
I know. It's been, yep.
Yeah. Baseball and everything else, right?
Yeah.
No, it's good to be in the studio again together and share the Word of God, pray and ask God to bless His Word and to give us the things that He wants us to say. So, Lord, we pray that You would sanctify us by Your truth. Your Word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And we are in John chapter 19, and we're going to see Jesus crowned with thorns, among other things. We begin in verse 1. It says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him." And just so the listeners understand what that is, you know, sometimes people say Jesus was whipped. He was not whipped. He was scourged, and there's a huge difference. He was flogged. The floggers used several devices, and what they did was cut deep gashes into the flesh of their victim. So Jesus had his flesh, his muscle, ripped to shreds, down to the bone, down to his organs, actually. So this was a brutal beating. And Pilate may have hoped that beating Jesus bloody would cause the Jews to feel pity and ask for his release. Some think that's what he did and why he did it that way. But it really doesn't matter, because it was still wrong for Pilate to beat a man that he knew was innocent, because he said that Jesus was innocent. "I find no fault in this man." And so he had him beaten, which was wrong. Pilate could have just released Jesus. He had the power to do that, but he didn't have the guts to do it because he didn't want to offend the religious leaders. And looking for pity from those monsters was a waste of time.
Yeah, and maybe what it could have ended up doing, too, as we're going to see when this chapter comes along, it certainly didn't appease them. It didn't appease their anger or anything like that. It actually just, if nothing else, it was a neutral effect. Or at worst, it actually fueled them to go even further, to be even more upset that he wasn't doing enough. So, I mean, with people like this and the people that Pilate is listening to, should have right away, instead of giving an ear to them, you know, back in the verse you referred to, I was looking at that while you were talking, and in chapter 18, verse 38, he said, "I find no fault in him at all." It shouldn't even gotten to that point, but when it did get to that point, Pilate should just cut it off right there, and that should have been the end of the story as far as Pilate was concerned. He should have, why entertain these people any further? Pilate knew what the truth was about Jesus, but he didn't take it and he didn't apply it. So you're seeing further problems as a result of that.
Well, it happens all the time. A lot of times people know what the truth is, but they don't have the guts to take a stand for it. They don't have the courage to proclaim it because they're afraid of offending people, and for one reason or another. So no, that's
doesn't do much good then to try to figure out what the truth is. Why waste your time?
It doesn't make sense. I don't understand it at all. I can't relate to it. Verse 2. "And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe." Now, you know, Jesus said that he was a king. And these soldiers mocked the Lord's claim with a crown of thorns and with a purple robe as well. Purple was the color of royalty. So they're mocking him. And you probably know how it might feel, how it stings to get poked in the finger with a thorn. I mean, most of us have probably felt that, a pin or a thorn bush of some sort, rose bush. It stings. Well, imagine how several thorns pressed into your skull would feel. And that's what Jesus is feeling. And that's on top of the, you know, the scourging, the flogging that literally ripped open his flesh. So, you know, at this point, I don't even know how he stayed conscious, but he did.
Yeah, and then on top of that, just being mocked as well.
Yeah.
Especially when who and what he claimed to be was true.
And it says in verse 3, and they put a purple robe on Jesus and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. So there's the mocking. And now they punch him. They're using him as a punching bag as well. So every conceivable type of torture and mocking is what Christ is enduring as he goes through the suffering, really, that is just beginning and was really intended for us because we're the sinners, not Jesus. But it has always stood out to me where it says they smote him with their hands. You know, Jesus created their hands. He's the one who formed their hands in their mother's womb. And those very hands that he formed are now slapping him in the face, punching him.
And how often does that same concept apply to not just hands, but to his creation as well, starting with man, starting in the Garden of Eden, and really as things go on, just getting worse. I mean, the fact that, you know, it's the same thing today. God is mocked. His word is mocked. The things that he has created for something good are being twisted by the world and being used as something bad, and thereby also mocking God. Same concept, and it just carries on.
Well, yeah, and that's what sin is, you know. Sin
is a perversion of God's creation, right?
I mean, it's a perversion of what God intended for good. And man takes what God intended for good, and he either overindulges or uses it in a perverted manner. And that's what you see here. The hands that were formed to work and to play are now punching the Creator in the face. The mouths he formed for these men are now mocking him. Jesus gave them hands and the ability to speak so that they could use it for good. Instead, they're using God's gifts for evil, and that's what happens, you know.
Yeah, and something that you said stands out, and that's that God did create all this stuff that people use to sin. He created it for good and for their good and for them to enjoy.
Right.
He created all these sorts of good things for them to enjoy, and if they were not perverting it, and they think they're having fun while perverting it, if they weren't perverting it, it would be even a lot better because they'd be using it the way God intended for them to use it, and God intended to give people something good. Something good. And the people pervert it, try to make it better, but you can't make something that God made. He looked at his creation and he said, and it was very good. You can't take something, if you're a human being, you can't take something that God created that was good and that was meant for good and improve on it. You can only screw it up.
Yeah.
And that's what people do.
Verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." And again, I've got to ask him, why is he standing there beaten bloody and beat up too and crown of thorns on his head? Pilate said, he has not done anything wrong. His own words condemn him. for not releasing Christ immediately. You know, it's bad when you do something wrong in ignorance. But according to the Word of God, it's much worse when you know the truth and you turn against it. Not only is that sin more serious, but it also tends to harden the heart, because you're sinning against what you know is truth, and you get to the point where you don't even see truth anymore. No wonder Pilate looked at Jesus in the eye and said, "What is truth?"
Yeah, but this obviously, you look at Pilate and the way that he's handling the situation and the fact that he said that, this type, and I don't know any history of Pilate, you know, and stuff like that, but I can tell you that this was not an isolated incident for him. This specific thing may have been, but it was not an isolated incident for Pilate to turn his back on the truth.
I'm sure
if
not.
If you look at the personality of this guy and how he was, this guy's this guy, you can read through this chapter, read through the last chapter, see how he acts. This guy is first and foremost a politician, and he is definitely not. He may know what truth is at times, but he doesn't respond to it. And I think that's what you're talking about too, is not responding to the truth in the right way, not accepting it as truth, and not living according to that. That's what screws you up.
Yeah, and it hardens your heart to truth, and you get to the point where you can't even see truth anymore.
But I don't know how, in this verse, when he goes out before the people and says, you know, in the condition that Jesus is in after getting beat up, he says, "I bring him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." And as he's sitting there bloody and beat up, how can you even say that to this crowd with a straight face? So here's this guy that I just had beaten like he did something wrong, but just to let you know, I don't see anything wrong with him.
Well, that's what happens when you love the world. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them." Pilate loved the world. He loved what his position could get him, and he loved that more than truth. He loved that more than what was right, and that's how he's able to justify doing something like this, because the things of this world and his position, those things were his God. And when, you know, everybody has a God, whether they realize it or not, and it's the most important thing to them, whatever that is their God, and they will serve that, whatever it is, and they will sacrifice to that God, and they will compromise whatever needs to be compromised to please that God. And in Pilate's case, that God was the things of this world, including his position. So that's how he's able to do unspeakable cruelties to Jesus and not have it faze him at all. Verse 5, "Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man." Behold the man. So Pilate's message to the Jews is, he's just a man. In other words, he's no threat to you Jews. He's no threat to Rome like you're trying to tell me. He's just a man. Pilate wants the Jews to say, "Yeah, you're right, governor. Just let him go." Because Pilate knew he was innocent, you know, and his conscience was bothering him, I guess, to a certain point. And he just didn't have the courage to do what was needed to get out of this the way he should have. So he wants the Jews. He's trying to placate these ungodly people and trying to convince them to do what is right instead of doing what was right himself. He had the power to do it. He could have just taken care of it, but instead of doing it, he's trying to get these ungodly people to do what is right, and that's a lost cause.
Well, and the only way you can do that to an ungodly person, whether it be to get them saved, for, you know, to give them the Word of God, to get them saved, or to get them to respond to the truth, the only way that's going to happen is if you just give them the straight truth. But trying to manipulate them, or trying to talk reason with them isn't what does it. It's just giving the straight truth. I mean, for example, you can't reason someone into the kingdom of God. You got to give them the straight truth and the gospel, and it's between them and God. After that, they accept it or reject it, and so on. But you got to give the straight truth for people to respond to it. Otherwise, it's not going to work, when especially when people are hardcore sinners.
Yep, you just got to give them the choice by giving them the truth. Verse 6, when the chief priest, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. So no pity from these religious hypocrites. They must have sensed, they had to have sensed, that Pilate thought Christ should be set free. So they shout all the harder for his execution. You know, they're probably getting worried that, you know, since Pilate is even moving in that direction in his mind, they're afraid they might lose this battle, you know. So they get louder. Again, look at verse 6. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, take ye himself and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. I think Pilate was surprised by their, I don't know, I guess it's unreasonable, has to be unreasonable hatred for Christ. Even in his mind, it was unreasonable. He had to be surprised and maybe even sickened by their unreasonable hatred for Jesus Christ, because Pilate knew right from wrong. It's just that he didn't act right and avoid wrong. So, you know, like we mentioned, his knowledge didn't do him any good at all. Verse 7, the Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Well, the evidence was plentiful that Jesus was innocent and that Jesus was God. He did enough things to prove that he was God. He controlled the weather. He raised the dead. He spoke the word of God. I mean, anybody who had a half a spiritual brain could listen to Jesus talk and know that he claimed to be God, and then he backed it up with his life and his works. But they didn't want to believe that he was God, even though the evidence was overwhelming. And so they demand that he be put to death for blasphemy. And that's what blaspheming was. It was claiming to be God. And it would have been blasphemy, except for the fact that Jesus was God. So he was just telling the truth again.
Yeah, there was. I mean, that's what the Gospel of John is all about, right?
Yeah.
Proving that Jesus is God. So we've seen all the interactions that Jesus has had, both in words and in his actions, in front of these religious rulers and others, all things that show and point to the fact that he is God. And when you come away, and I mean, the Gospel of John has, you know, the emphasis on Jesus being God. But if you read Matthew through John and you come away with the conclusion that Jesus was not God, then you're not open to truth.
Yeah.
It's that simple. That's how it is. I mean, because there's no lack of evidence for it given out by the Gospels. You can't, you know, like you hear some people say that Jesus was just, you know, he was a really good man. He's a really good man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good men out there, but there's not a lot of really good men who are raising people from the dead and healing incurable diseases and, you know,
controlling the weather.
And yeah. How about this one, raising yourself from the dead? There's a lot of good men out there, but not many around who do that.
So the religious leaders tell Pilate that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. And look at verse 8. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. So Pilate was already nervous about killing Jesus because he knew that Christ was innocent. And now he hears that Jesus claimed to be God. I think that, along with the Lord's reputation for doing miracles really has the governor worried at this point.
Yeah, I mean, what, even if there was a slight chance that you might be doing that, and you know that, I mean, that you might be about to execute the Son of God, that either there's a slight chance that he could be the Son of God, Pilate, and Pilate, who already knows that Jesus is innocent, isn't that the point where you just cut it off and say, okay, I don't care what these people think of me anymore? And just a side note, Pilate was at least afraid when he heard that Jesus might be the Son of God. Very much unlike the religious rulers who didn't care at all about what Jesus said. They've been listening to him for 3 years. Didn't scare them what Jesus claimed to be. They even saw all of his miracles. How many did Pilate see? These religious rulers even saw all of his miracles, and it didn't even faze them. They're the ones turning them in here.
Well, and that's
about how hard their hearts are too.
And that's because they had the Word of God, you know. So they had more truth than Pilate had. They had more truth, and they were exposed not just to the Word of God and how Jesus measured up to the Word of God, but they also were exposed to the Lord's teachings and all the miracles. Yeah, so their heart is really.
Why are they the ones not afraid, but Pilate is?
Because they kept rejecting the truth. And what we talked about earlier, when the more you reject the truth, the more hard your heart becomes.
But they must have had pretty hard hearts before that too, because there's never a place where it seems like they ever feared Jesus. They feared the people, because the people may have left the religious rulers and turned to Jesus instead. But you know, I don't know if they ever actually feared Jesus.
No, and that's because they were so full of themselves.
Right.
And they
before Jesus even came on the scene.
And they saw Jesus as a threat to their religious position and the accolades they got. And all of a sudden Jesus was getting those things, just like John the Baptist got them before Jesus, and they didn't like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's another reason they didn't fear Jesus. They hated him, and they hated anything that would take the attention away from them, which helped them to reject the truth, because
they loved themselves.
And,
yeah, and they were so hard with sin before Jesus came on the scene that, yeah, that's they were afraid of him for the wrong reasons. Just like if you go back to Matthew chapter 1, King Herod was afraid of Jesus for the wrong reasons. Herod was worried. Not that he, when he went out and killed all those little babies, he wasn't worried that, I hope I don't accidentally kill the Son of God. He was worried that his position of power is going to be taken from him.
Yep.
That's what worried him.
And again, it comes back to loving the things of this world. If you love the things of the world, you're never going to be what God wants you to be. You can't be. You cannot be what God wants you to be as a Christian if you love the things of this world, anything in this world, more than you love Jesus and the Word of God. You can't make an idol out of anything or anyone, or it's going to mess up your walk with Jesus, and it's going to mess up your usefulness to Christ. And you say, well, that's not that important to me. Then you should repent, because that should be the most important thing to you if you're a Christian. And if it isn't, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with your priorities. Look at let's read 8 and 9 together. How much time we got left, by the way?
4 minutes.
Till this thing is over, or till I have to stop talking?
Till we have to stop you from talking
for
another week.
Okay. Well, let's read verse 8 and 9 together. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, from where art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate, you know, he was already really nervous, and now this, Jesus doesn't even answer him. But you could tell he's nervous, because he drags Jesus back in private, and he asks him the question, where'd you come from? You know, where'd you come from? Pilate did not act on the crystal clear truth that he already knew, which is why Jesus didn't give him any more.
Yeah, because he wouldn't believe.
No.
What good would that do? When Pilate already had, he already rejected the truth that was given to him, so he's not going to get more.
No.
You start out simple, okay? You start out with baby steps, and you either receive or reject truth in baby steps. You start out small steps of accepting truth.
Yeah.
You know, small things.
Yeah.
Small things. And as you accept that, you get more truth. And as you accept that, then you get more and more and more.
And so, yeah, anybody who would say, well, man, Pilate asked him who he was or where he came from. Why didn't Jesus answer him? Because then maybe Pilate would have repented. You know, if he would have just got a little bit more information from Jesus, maybe he would have repented.
Yeah, just like if Jesus would have came down from the cross, the religious rulers would have believed in him.
That's what they said. That's what they said, but they would have came up with some excuse. Right. Well, the nails weren't driven in hard enough or whatever.
Yeah.
Or Satan, if nothing else, Satan got him off the cross. Yeah. You know, I mean, it would be something because their hearts were so hard from the truth. But, you know,
had he raised from the dead, his disciples stole him.
Yeah. So, and they knew that was a lie. Yeah,
right. Because they knew that was a lie. They had the guards posted there.
They had the guards posted there, and they paid the guards off. Yeah. So they knew it was a lie, and it still didn't matter to them. Yeah. So, you know, why didn't Jesus answer Pontius Pilate? Because he already rejected so much truth, and that's why he didn't. You know, the Lord tells us not to cast our pearls before swine, and so he's not doing that.
Yeah.
He, you know, at this point, giving Pilate more truth would be casting pearls before swine because he already knew the truth about Jesus. He already knew he was innocent, you know? And so Pilate and others like him throw truth down and trample it into the ground. And in this case, by Jesus giving him more light, all he is going to do is going to make the flames of hell hotter for Pontius Pilate because the more truth he has, the more truth he will reject, the more truth he rejects, the hotter the flames of hell will be for him because Jesus said that. He taught that. That's the way it is. That it's not just that truth shouldn't be trampled underfoot by people and you shouldn't give it to them for that reason because that dishonors God, but truth shouldn't be trampled underfoot for the person who's doing the trampling. You're not doing them any favors by continuing to give them truth that they continue to reject, which is why Jesus clammed up.
Yep, and if he would have accepted the truth that he had about Jesus, number one, Pilate's reason for pulling him back here and asking him questions would have been different. And secondly, if he would have accepted Jesus, Jesus would have gave him more truth.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jesus wants people to know him. And that's why I say his motivation for pulling him back here, if he would have accepted Jesus at the beginning and responded in the correct way to truth, he would have pulled Jesus back here to maybe ask him the same question. I don't know, but he'd be asking not because he was afraid, but because he wanted to know him better. And any time you go to Jesus and you want to know him better, he's not going to say no.
No, he's always going to say no,
and he's always going to talk. Jesus, you can't even imagine the countless hours that he spent talking to people and talking to his apostles and talking to his disciples and talking to the women that were with him. He would have never slept if he could have, you know, and just kept talking to people, anyone who is interested in hearing. He's always open to doing that, but not when someone's not interested in truth.
So we must be out of time, huh?
Yeah.
You want to give the address?
Go ahead.
All right. If you want to be a part of this ministry, you can be. It'd be great. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. You know, we don't have a big church. We don't have a big denomination or anybody else underwriting this ministry. It's dependent on the prayers and the financial support of our listeners. So if you want to be a part of that, that'd be great. Our address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. Again, Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. And I want to encourage you to check out the Scripture Verse by Verse website because it'll give you the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation. You can study every single verse of the Bible with me using my audio Bible commentaries. That's can be found at thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleverseByverse.com. Until next time, this is Mike Ferrarin. So long, everyone.